Well, good morning, everyone. There was a young granddaughter who was sitting on her grandfather's lap listening to the Bible story of Noah's Ark, and she asked, "Were you on the Ark, Grandpa?" And the grandfather chuckled and replied, "No, sweetheart, I wasn't." And there was a short pause, and the child looked up at her grandfather quizzically and asked, "Then why weren't you drowned?" Okay. I thought it was pretty good. But to a child, it's sometimes hard to put things into perspective outside of their own reality. But as we grow and learn the truth of our existence, and especially as we step into the spiritual reality of who Christ is, our perspective changes. But we are still forced with the world around us, to be in the world around us, and even challenges us at times. So what I want to discuss today is walking in the reality of our faith that we have in Christ. Earlier this week, our son Jeremy called me, and he had an extremely long week, and he put a lot of overtime due to some employees who were sick. And he finally got to the store to do some grocery shopping, and he was challenged by three guys who actually belonged to a cult. And their theology was way, way, way off. And Jeremy knew how to counter without arguing and sharing the truth of the gospel, but he was just too tired to engage and get his own thought processes going for that moment. And he called me and we talked about it, and he did some digging into the scriptures to make sure that he was on his toes the next time, in case he's faced with the same group of people, he knows how to engage them. You see, every single person is born with a spiritual aspect in their lives, whether they're following a lie or following the truth. Every single person has to make a decision as to who they will follow. Our readings today point that out very clearly. In our Old Testament reading, we see Joshua addressing the people of Israel. And remember, Joshua was an assistant to Moses and commissioned by God to take the people across the Jordan and into the promised land. And here in our readings today, Joshua is towards the end of his life. He has gathered the people of Israel together, and he actually begins to prophesy. He says, "Thus says the Lord." That means listen. This is a word from the Lord. And through Joshua, the Lord begins to recount all that the Lord has done for them. He reminds them of the protection that he gave them as they came out of Egypt. He reminds them of the protection from attack after attack that came upon them by the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hittites, and all the other ites that came against them. You see, God is saying to them, "I have had my hand on you all along. Even when you turned your back on me, I was there with you. Now turn away from the gods that your father worshipped across the river. I'm your God who wants to be with you. But you have to make a decision for yourself." You see, God always is after the heart. And then Joshua makes his own decision, and the decision of his household, publicly known in these words that have rang through history. "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And it gets the people's attention. In our gospel reading today, Jesus has also gotten the people's attention. People come to see Jesus for all sorts of reasons. They certainly wanted a conquering Messiah, but they saw other things as well. One was a fantastic teacher. Think about it in hindsight. This is God in the flesh talking to them and teaching them. This is the creator of the universe. It is only natural that when he spoke with authority. Something was fulfilling in the words that he gave. And when Jesus has something to say, people wanted to listen because of that. He couldn't be challenged. Some tried and failed. So he preached and taught with that authority. What did he preach? The kingdom of God is at hand. It is right here before you. It is right here for you to take. Jesus also performed many miracles. People saw blind men see. They saw the dead raised. They saw the crippled and lame get up and walk. These were marvelous things to see. Who wouldn't want to see a miracle take place? Who wouldn't want to have a miracle happen to them? I know I would, and I've seen several. I've heard testimonies of many. I've received a few. It's great to witness and experience the joy that is in that. That's why so many who are in all sorts of conditions came to Jesus. Some just wanted to be able to touch the garments of his clothes and receive from him, and they did. It was fun to be out on the countryside with Jesus. Where else could you go and hear a great teaching and be fed a meal from just a little bit of bread and fish? Jesus did all sorts of things that got people's attention. You see, people have heard for a long time about the miracles of God. They've heard about them just like we have heard about them through history. But despite the miracles, they lost something in the process. Their heart wasn't there. They wanted all the benefits, but they lost the heart. But what they lost. That is exactly what Jesus is saying here in our gospel reading. It now comes to a heart decision. What they should be seeking is not just another miracle, but something deeper, something eternal. Jesus said, "This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever." Jesus is offering something unique. And like Joshua, he is saying it's decision time. If you just want to see a miracle, you've come for the wrong reasons. If miracles are great, but that isn't going to get you where you need to be. Even miracles don't last forever. Lazarus was raised from the dead, but he had to die again. If you came to hear another great teaching, you've come for the wrong reason. Teachings are great. We need to hear them, but it won't get you where you need to be. Jesus said, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." We need to remember Jesus is not talking about taking communion. That is, if that were true, the thief on the cross would not be in paradise with Jesus when he died. If that was true, everybody who receives Jesus into their lives and has never received a communion wouldn't be with Jesus today. The Eucharist is a special and unique sacrament done in remembrance of what Jesus has done. And yes, there is a real presence there as Jesus intended it to be, as he instituted it at his Last Supper. But what Jesus is saying here is the reality behind what we are called, what he was called to do, and the reality behind the Eucharist. He says in a few verses just later, he says, "The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life." He is saying what he has been reiterating all through chapter 6 of John's gospel that we've heard over the last month. "I came down from heaven, and this is why I came, to give you new life, a true spiritual life." And he did that through his sacrifice on that cross and the shedding of his blood. But look what happens. Some of the people had a problem with what Jesus was saying. These are people who have followed Jesus around, some probably for quite some time. These are not the 12, even though the 12 are there with him. And we read, on hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" These people couldn't get past their own heads. As I was reading this, I sort of reminded me of how many people try to treat Christmas like that. They want all the presents and the good stuff that comes at Christmas, but they totally ignore the true gift that is being offered. So many walk away. There comes a time in everyone's life when a decision has to be made. The words Jesus spoke drew people close. The miracles performed, again, drew people close. These weren't bad things, or Jesus wouldn't have done them. But Jesus is now getting down to the real reason that he's come. This is going to be life-changing. Like Joshua said, there comes a time when we have to leave those things across the river, the old nature, the things that are separating us from God. There comes a time when we have to say, who am I going to serve? Jesus is now making a spiritual connection to all that he has done. He is saying, I want you to be connected on the inside. I want to be in a relationship with you at a level that is deep within you. This is why you were created. I want to be a part of your life. As the physical food nourishes the body, I want to nourish you spiritually with spiritual food that is me. Every day, every moment. Now, why is that so hard for some to receive? It's hard because Jesus is reaching down into the very depths of the human condition. It's hard because it means to accept the truth of who Jesus is. It's hard because, like we discussed last week, it means stepping out of the dark and stepping into the light that we have in Christ. It means admitting that I'm a sinner and my ways have not been God's ways. It's hard because it means change. It means leaving sin behind. It means leaving behind idols that we might have created and even worshiped. So many turn and walk away. How sad that must have been for Jesus to see. You can just see the grief in his words. And he turned to his 12 and he said, you don't want to leave too, do you? Peter answers in a way that's making a declaration sort of like what Joshua made with different words. To whom will we go? You have the words of eternal life. You are the Holy One of God. You see, Peter saw the truth in Jesus. He wasn't fully there yet, but he wasn't going to walk away from it either. His heart was ready, and when the time came, he received it. He saturated himself in God's Spirit and covered himself, as the others did, with the presence and the strength through the Holy Spirit. It's a spiritual protection that is given by the Spirit. Paul speaks of this protection as the armor of God, as we stay strong in his protection. He said, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. There are forces that would want to pull you away from Christ. There are forces that don't want you to be strong in the Lord. There are forces that want you to not share the gospel with others. And those same forces would like nothing more than for you to do nothing for the kingdom of God. Of course, there is our own free will that can be influenced by culture around us, which in turn can be influenced by those spiritual forces. So Paul says, put on the armor. This could be a whole other sermon, but in short, it is preparing ourselves through salvation in Christ, staying grounded in his word, being ready to share. Just like Jeremy told me, the next time, I'll be ready. God wants to protect us, but we need to be willing to clothe ourselves with the armor that he has given us. Those were some of the first verses that we taught our children when they were younger, as they were growing up. We would start out each day as we were on our way to school or wherever we were with praying, putting on the armor, and they'd go through the motions of putting on their helmets, putting on their breastplate and taking up the sword and the shield. We wanted them to know that God's Spirit was always with them, and they could grow in that. Jesus found in the hearts of the 12 disciples that they were ready to grow. He found in them, with the exception of one, believers who were ready to sacrifice everything for the kingdom. And that is what he's still looking for today. God wants us not to be just hearers of the word, but doers as well. Not just come to church every Sunday and then we're gone for a week. We are with him everywhere we go. He has things for you during the week. What he really wants is for you to surrender to him and be used by him in many, many wonderful ways. He wants disciples who are ready and prepared to be called at a moment's notice. And let me tell you something. It doesn't matter whether you're in school, working, or retired. God can and wants to use you no matter what stage of life you are in. You may be praying for someone tomorrow that God lays on your heart. You may minister to someone you didn't even know. You may be used in someone's healing. Are you willing? Do you want to be used like that? Sometimes it might seem like a spiritual battle, but we are not to fight that battle alone. There's a wonderful short praise song that has recently been released by Michael W. Smith, and the lyrics go like this. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It's a powerful song. And I want you to know if you're willing to be totally surrounded by God, it will change your life. If you are ready, he will use you. God has so much for us to do in this world. Even in this little niche that we call Sarasota Bradenton, there are people hurting. There are people asking questions. There are people wanting wholeness who don't even know where to turn. And tomorrow they may turn and be facing you. God will use you if you let him. Jesus Christ, by his Spirit, desires to be a part of your life in all sorts of ways. He will give you the strength to face any situation that comes your way. Let us leave the things that hinder us and hinder our walk across the river. Let us prepare ourselves to do what he calls us to do. Let us walk in the reality of our faith that he has given us, knowing he is at work, he has work for all of us to do, and knowing he is there with us every step of the way as we call on him. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your life-giving Spirit that gives us strength and encouragement. And we thank you, Father, that you have for each of us a task in our lives. And no task is a little task. Whatever you call us to do, Lord, it's a big thing in the kingdom. And we thank you, Father, and we give you praise for that, that the person we may talk to tomorrow, the person we pray for tonight, that has power, Lord God. And so, Father, we thank you for that. We ask that you would use each of us in a mighty, mighty way, in whatever way you call us. And, Father, help us to always keep our heart and our minds open to that. Help us always to remember that we have the armor of your strength, of your Spirit, to surround us and keep us and to guide us through this life. We don't need to be afraid of what is tomorrow because you are there with us. You are piloting the ship, Lord God. And we thank you, Father. And we give all of this to you, and we look forward to what you will do and continue to do through each and every one of us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.